Certainly was a wonderful morning. We assembled together to worship God and remember our Lord and Savior as He instructed us to on first day of the week, to remember His suffering as He suffered as the sinless Son of God, suffered as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, and remember the blood that was shed to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to purify our souls as we obey the truth and have faith in that blood. So we're thankful once again that we can assemble this evening and remember our Lord and honor Him. And the lesson this morning was a very powerful lesson, and I wanted to branch from that and continue on in the same vein, the same thought process concerning love divine as we've sung this evening. Certainly, as it dwells within us, we have the desire to hate every false way, and in our hearts we want to take us into a realm where we are no longer serving sin but serving righteousness. So our God, our Creator, He creates us in righteousness and true holiness. So let us think about Jesus as we prepare for this lesson on love, and go to Hebrews chapter 12 and continue there, as we've looked at Hebrews 11 this morning. So let's go to Hebrews 12 and read about Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." So consider Him and what motivated Him to go through such hostility and humiliation. As we consider Jesus, we also look at what it says about Him in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 20, it says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect and make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. It's so powerful. Passage here leads us to think about John chapter 10, doesn't it? Where it says that Jesus would give His life for the sheep, lay it down for the sheep. And through the blood of the everlasting covenant, He makes it possible for us to not only have green pastures now as we are His sheep and still waters, but we have that peace that passes all understanding that is eternal. So let's also go in the book of Luke and read about Jesus as He testified of Himself in a hostile environment in Nazareth. We go over in Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, it says there in verse 17. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." You see in these readings that not the word love is not brought out, but you see the loving nature and the loving character of Jesus, and that He would be considerate and thoughtful and caring for those who are brokenhearted, those who are captives, realizing that they can only be set free from the snare of the devil through the power of the Lord. Then we go over to verses 42 and through 44. And Jesus there in Luke chapter 4, verse 42, it is written of him, "Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd saw him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, 'I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent.' And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee." And so he was busy going about to declare the good news of the gospel to all. And certainly he had no respecter of persons, and he wanted to share it with everyone as he went about his ministries. And then also we go to chapter 5. As Jesus is talking about those who are in need, those who are tax collectors and sinners that he's with at that time. And he answered the ones who objected. In verse 31 of Luke 5, Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so the humble and the poor and the needy that come to Jesus, then he would not turn any of them away. That is the love of God that we, the love divine. And then also in chapter 6, we see not only Jesus teaching a powerful and very difficult lesson, but it's also something that he perfectly and powerfully did when he went to the cross. In chapter 6, verse 27, we read, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." The people of the time that he walked upon the earth were amazed not only at his great miracles that demonstrated and confirmed his claims, but they were also very much amazed and marveled at his doctrine. And certainly this is a case in point. And so as God said on the Mount of Transfiguration, that "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased, hear him." So let us do that. Consider what he has done as we look at those, the faith of our fathers and what they've shared with us through the Holy Spirit. We can think of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says there, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure." We discussed this morning over in Romans chapter 5 about the love of God and how that it's been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And certainly that's what it means to be a child of God, as we see over in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, it says there in verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." That promise that was given to Abraham so long ago is still effective today, and it's for everyone who is walking by faith. So we behold what manner of love when we actually put on Christ and realize what all He's done for us, and that we can put on all those wonderful attributes of Christ and godliness. "There's greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends," it says in John 15 and verse 13. And Jesus laid it down for us so that we would be of walking His steps, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, as it says in 1 John. And so the children of God are known by the love of God that flows freely. And let us consider some of those passages that has to do with the love of God. As we look at Ephesians chapter 5, certainly that's a passage we've looked at time to time, and it's very powerful. And it's worth looking at this time, because it fits really well. Because as that love has been shown to the church, those who've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, then we as a church want to help others to be in the light and to have that love that Christ is bestowing upon us. It says in verse 22 of Ephesians 5, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." And in verse 32, we see, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." And as we're in the age of enlightenment, having the fullness of Christ in the Scriptures, we can see how powerful it is, this love that Christ has for the church, and how it helps us in the home to be proper toward one another, to have the proper love, and to develop and grow in love. Also, as we think about Jesus over in John chapter 14, we look over there and learn some things about love that He taught His disciples. In John chapter 14, verse 31, we read, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." See, He said, "As the Father hath given me commandment, so I do." He obeyed His Father. And so this is how He expressed His love for His Father in obeying Him. It was not easy, of course. And then over in John chapter 15, we see that the analogy of the true vine. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit." We see there that the vine is very important because of the fruit that comes forth. And the Father cares about the fruit that we offer, the fruit that we bring forth. And certainly, He would like to have a healthy vine, as we, if we were vine dressers, would want the same thing. But the only way we can abide in the vine is, as it says in verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So that's a choice that we have. Do we develop and push ourselves to grow in love and to do more for the Lord? Then another thing about love is found in John chapter 16 and verse 27, where we read there, "For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." Our faith is so important to strengthen our faith and to add to our faith, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1. And as we do these things, our faith in Jesus, that he came forth from God, gets better and better, fuller and more toward maturity. And as we see there, if we have this faith, it develops our love and it becomes greater. So these are the things that Jesus has taught. Also in chapter 16 and verse 7, he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And the Helper is just like he was in the days of Jesus when he teached them to go to Moses and the prophets. What does the Scripture say? Well, the Scripture says exactly what the Holy Spirit says, because the Holy Spirit is truth and the Holy Word is truth. So here we see that the Helper is essential and vital to our development of love and our growth as a Christian. And Jesus sent the Helper so that we could be guided into all truth. And we have the ambassadors of Christ, such as the Apostle Paul, who have made it possible for us to be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Considering the Apostle Paul, let us go into some scriptures in the epistles. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, we read in verse 15, "Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." And, of course, the Apostle Paul, he preached the doctrine of Christ out of love. And this is the motive for gospel preaching, that we should always endeavor to emulate and learn from the Apostle Paul. As he followed Christ, we should follow those things. We know that how much he suffered and still kept preaching. You can see that over in Acts chapter 14, for example, how that he was persistent in his preaching, even though he suffered such great things. In Acts 14 and verse 19, it says, "Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." So we see how he must have suffered greatly in being stoned in that instance. But he was, even the next day, he said, "Well, a new day, God has blessed me." And it's amazing. We cannot understand. We know the power of God in those days, and that God blessed him with the ability to go out the next day to Derbe. We also read of him being opposed by so many, as we read in Acts chapter 15. There was great opposition to him whenever he stood up to the false teaching. And certainly in other places where he was beaten and dragged around in the public places, that he was very persistent in continuing to preach out of love. And he also wrote to his own son after the faith, Timothy, And he wrote to him in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 7, where he said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And certainly he's one that was qualified to make that statement. But he did not have a spirit of fear. He said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And so his love for God was so overflowing in his heart. And so we see there in that passage that love is a gift from God, that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of love. Also, he wrote in 1 Thessalonians about just labor that he's going through. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, he wrote, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father." So these people, the brethren at Thessalonica, they were certainly being commended by Paul as well as others in the area. Their faith had sounded forth to every place. And so the labor that we must be involved with is a labor of love. And our love itself, over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we should never get to a point where we are complacent or reaching a plateau. We are pressed on the upward way, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 9. "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing." What a powerful message there, teaching us to be good examples and to work our problems. If we have problems with others and we're not expressing ourselves in the loving way that we're capable of, let us work on those things and increase in more and more in love. And so we see that love is limitless. Love is boundless. When we tap into the Word of God, increase in our faith, we can increase in love, and we don't know the limit of it. Also in Romans chapter 13, over there in verse 10, we read, "Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." And in verse 8, it also says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law." This is our debt that we owe. We know we can't repay the Lord and cannot earn salvation, but we have a debt to pay. And that is the powerful message there to the church at Rome and to us as well. And so we've looked at some aspects of love by the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus. Now, as we look at it in terms of defining it and getting a deeper, sharper view of it, let us look at some other scriptures that have to do with the manifestation of love. As we've already looked at it in Romans 13, it says there that it's the fulfilling of the law. And we know that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And we want to fulfill that law by walking in love. And we want to practice it, as it says there, to love our neighbor as ourself. And to realize that people are in need of love and that we need to express it to them. As we know, love rejoices in the truth, and we want to share the truth. Also, it says in 1 John chapter 5 about love being the end of the commandment. I'm sorry, that's 1 John chapter 5 teaching us about beloved of God, keeping His commandments. As it says there, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Over in the same chapter, it says in verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So we keep His commandments, doing His will, and if we ask according to His will, He hears us. And so this is a blessing, and certainly a great way to strengthen ourselves in our Christian life is to continue on to study so we may do His will and practice what we learn and ask for strength and pray for those with whom we are coming in contact. Also in 2 John in verse 6 it says, this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. So it's a discipline that we need to practice to stay in the steps of Jesus. Also, in Galatians chapter 5, we see that the love of God is the first thing mentioned there, as the Holy Spirit brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, there it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So the fruit of the Spirit all begins with the love of God, and it should dwell in us richly in all wisdom. And over in Colossians, we see there a powerful statement about what love is for us. And in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14, we'll begin in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But put above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And so this is how we can have unity. It leads us to the unity of the Spirit. As we read over in Philippians chapter 2, about the same love, that we should all have that within our hearts. In Philippians chapter 2, we read in verse 1, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And the mind of Christ is the one mind that we're talking about, as you see there in verses 5 through 11. And it's the mind of humility, of submission to God, and obedience to the Scriptures. So this is the light of the gospel that enables us to see the truth and to love it and to practice it. And certainly love is something we're taught, and we need to continue to learn more and more. As the psalmist said in Psalm 119, as we wrap up this lesson, in verse 97, the psalmist wrote, oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day. And then in verse 113, he wrote, I hate the double-minded or the divided in heart, but I love your law. And so let us be a single heart, practicing the love of God, and not let any barrier or hostility or bitterness creep into our hearts as we go about our daily lives, not only in our function in the workplace, in the the community and society, but also in the church and in the home. Speaking of home, we talked about at the beginning of this lesson how it says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God." We hope that each and every one here is clearly can see the manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, and that you will act upon your knowledge of love and return in like, that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and that you will love your neighbors yourself, and that you will want to be a part of a loving body of Christ, and that you'll be like the Apostle Paul and not let anything pull you down, that you'll be persistent in your love in the kingdom. To express your love for him, as Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. He just instructs us to hear the word, to believe it with all our heart, not to be double-minded, but to be single-minded, and to repent of our sins, to hate every false way, to love the ways of God, knowing that he has given us Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And we can only come to the Father through him. And so if we have that kind of faith in the Lord, we should be ready to confess him before men. And we should do that not only one day, but every day as we live on the earth, to be bold in confessing the Lord, and who he is, what he means to us. As the song says, "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do." So if you're a friend of Jesus, then you want to be buried with him in baptism, to be immersed, to be baptized into his death. You can be baptized into the one body, and you can bring forth fruit of the Spirit. You can rejoice with those who are in heaven above and with saints on earth as we rejoice over the saved, and we know that God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And if you have strayed away and you've left your first love, then you have an opportunity to be restored. And we will be glad to help you humbly and considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. So let us stand and sing the invitation song at this time.